Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. I mean, come on, this podcast and your eardrums, what a holy union that pairing is. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_VH.
I'm Harry Mackin, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Whatever, my intro was good. Unfortunately, no Emily on this week's episode. She's out on assignment. The world is a calling. We wish her all the best. Go Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. Should be noted, this episode was produced by notorious cootie catcher Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. Oh, I was this close to getting a chair on the Polish Philharmonic, and I nailed the audition, but I didn't get it. Guess who did? Yo-Yo Ma's cousin, Little Nepetiz. Anyway, I just decided to give up on myself and become a teacher, because those that can't do, teach. And those that can't teach, spell kids with a Z. Also with us today is a very special returning guest. Please welcome back to the show, Seth Zarate. Seth, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back on the show. First time listener, long time caller. great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Happy to have you here. Seth is here because we are talking about episode 96 of Hey Arnold. We needed him on for that. Those of you keeping track at home, because you're out there, we haven't forgotten about you. That is season 5, episode 16, going by production code order. This, double length episode of Hey Arnold is called Married. Original air date, May 11th, 2002. The Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. I'm going to take another big breath. Rhonda uses a cootie catcher fortune teller to predict who will marry who, and Arnold and Helga get paired up, causing them to both dream what life would be like married to each other with very different mental pictures. Helga dreams of becoming the president, with Arnold as the first husband, as well as a bedraggled, long-suffering Lila appearing at almost every turn. And meanwhile, Arnold has a nightmare in which he is forced into a crummy job at Big Bob's Beepers, not to mention having to look after his and Helga's football-headed, unibrowed babies, while Helga slacks off and is still mean to him. A very colorful description, primed for a very colorful discussion, hopefully. Just got to quickly mention the folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss directed this particular episode. Steve Vixton wrote it. And Harry is giving takes first. Harry, what did you think about Married?
Hey, thanks, Cody. I like this episode a lot. I think it's worth noting a couple things about this episode, right? First of all, it is a double length, like you said. It actually originally premiered after a marathon of Hey Arnold episodes called Helga's Aching Heart, which were curated for Helga-centric episodes to sort of lead up to this. And it's the final episode written by Steve Vixton, whom wrote... most of the episodes of Hey Arnold, or not most, but more than any other single writer. It's really interesting in particular that this is his last episode. And I think that the fact that it followed that marathon kind of supports what was my overall initial takeaway from this episode, which is that this kind of felt to me like it functioned to sort of close out the series on the Helga Arnold relationship, right? I think that this is sort of supposed to be the final note of optimism for their future together, or their future at least in understanding each other and in maturing toward the people they're going to be. It's very characteristic of Hey Arnold in that, in my opinion, it ultimately arrives at a very optimistic place, right, where Helga is going to learn to express herself and is going to sort of self-actualize into the intelligent, self-possessed woman she should be, and Arnold is going to understand how special Helga is and how much she cares about him, and they are going to understand each other and get along finally, right? Even whether or not they're married, though, it seems implied that they're going to be married as well. I really like that. I think it makes a lot of sense. I wonder I don't know. I think, and maybe this is an unfair thing, but the amount of dream sequence is in this episode made this episode feel really fun to me, but also kind of weightless and a little stakeless. And again, like, this is my own sort of arbitrary projection onto this episode, so maybe it's not totally fair to come at it this way, but like, for a sort of conclusion to the Arnold Helga A plot of the series, I kind of wanted something with a little bit more narrative stakes, a little bit more dramatic tension, a little bit more actual interaction between the two characters. But that being said, I still think that there's like a whole lot to chew on here that I'm really excited to talk about. And on top of it all, it was also a really fun sort of fan send up, right? Like, this is full of Easter eggs. They clearly wanted to draw all of the characters as adults. They clearly wanted to make references throughout the entire series. I love the framing device with the cootie catcher. It felt very true to PS118. It felt very true to the characters. I think all of the characters do a really good job of feeling in character this time. It totally shows that this was Vixen's big swan song. So, yeah, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's my favorite episode. It's certainly not my favorite Helga-centric episode or my favorite episode about Arnold and Helga. But as a send-off, I think it's quite appropriate, and it sort of goes to show you that they had this idea built into the arc of these two characters from the start, right? Like, I think that this episode is really strong evidence for the character arcs that Arnold and Helga go on. So I really like it, and I'm really interested to hear what you, Cody, and Seth think.
Yeah, me as well. Seth, we'll pivot to you next. What did you think about this beefy episode of Hey Arnold with an exclamation point?
Well, the first thing that was determined for me is that free will does not exist in the Hey Arnold universe. Determinism is the only way to sort of be in the world, according to Craig Bartlett. But outside of that, like, Harry, what you said about this sort of being a send-off episode, that came through big time. And like, I've sort of popped in and out throughout the seasons, you know, to guest and living with super producer Jason Daphnis. I've, you know, watched him watch some of the episodes, but just thematically, I went to check. I was like, oh, is this a season finale episode? Like, because it felt so sort of consequential. I thought it was very consequential. The other thing that came to me is also, like, as long as we're talking about the big swings that this episode made, one, as far as determinism goes, both Helga and Arnold foresee a world where Gerald grows up to have a cool goatee, just in different iterations, which I loved. And then, yeah, seeing them as adults, I got big, like, Rugrats all growed up vibes, which I don't know by this point if season 5 overlapped or predated All Grown Up. But as far as its influence, I am willing to bet Christopher Nolan watched this episode to inform him of Inception, because honestly, the scene at the end of Arnold's dream sequence where, like, he confronts this dream version of Helga, I thought that was like a really fantastic, like, interaction where you, to what Harry said again, like, you see that Arnold is like growing in empathy and understanding of Helga, and like through this dream sequence comes to a new understanding of who she is as a person and what motivates her. To the point when he's on the bus and he's talking with Gerald, there's like this new sort of calm or equilibrium with the idea of marrying Helga when it had been, you know, tormenting him. So I just loved the whole arc. I was a big fan and looking forward to dissecting it more.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that stood out a ton to me, and both of you remarked upon, it's like, It was kind of the big takeaway, and maybe plays into the meta arc of this being and having the feeling of a send off episode, which I totally agree with. But even more so than previous episodes, this episode, like, Craig and friends seemed to have a ton of fun imagining what these characters would look like in the future. Again, even more so than the episodes in the past that we've remarked upon, like, oh, they wanted to age these characters up to tell a certain story, or they really just wanted to have this fantasy sequence to show what, you know, Arnold or Harold would look like in the future. But there were so many, like, they really, I think, bested themselves this episode. And if for any other reason, that's kind of why I'm not that I would be opposed to this being a double length episode in the first place. I think it totally makes sense to let, you know, each fantasy sequence breathe a little bit more. But I mean, I just like Gerald, Stinky, Big Bob, Phoebe, like every like ton of others, like everybody's got a very unique design. And that's, you know, a bit of a bummer that Emily can't be here to remark upon it, because I'm sure she'd have some great thoughts on like the animation and just the artistry that went into those. So that was a big thing for me. And again, like, having this as a send off, not necessarily as, you know, a conclusion to this. I mean, we are approaching the literal conclusion of the series, but not, you know, the animators suggesting that there is a future beyond wherever this series caps off. We'll find more about that in the coming weeks as we kind of wrap up those last handful of episodes. Maybe some movies, spoilers, but, yeah, but like at the same time, there are the same Arnold DNA seemed to be permeating throughout this episode. The same, like, I kind of gags, you know, Helga jumping behind a dumpster to have a little soliloquy and then socking Brainy in the face. The cartoon magic trickery that plays into the cootie catcher, which seems to just be like a Carrie Fisher and When Harry Met Sally-esque Rolodex of all the names of everybody in the city pretty much reside in this cootie catcher, which only has 8 spaces where you can put names, but it just seems like everybody's in there. That, I don't know, that sort of cartoon logic was always very funny to me. And lots of other things, while also, you know, going to the old standbys of, you know, Arnold and Lila, let's, you know, it feels like we resolved this a couple seasons ago that this wasn't going to be a thing. Well, we got to retread that out one more time. It kind of paid off in the fantasy sequences. That was kind of funny. But I feel like at this point, I'm just rambling. There's, I don't know, a lot of good to take from this episode. I almost feel like in ways that I would maybe want to be critical, or I mean, they're certainly worth digging into how Arnold and Helga both perceive each other and kind of what the showrunners think of these characters and how these characters see each other. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's all gravy. It's I don't know, a real testament to how far this show has come that we can have an episode like this that it feels so intimate yet really, really grand scale.
Wow, that last point is so well said, Cody. Just that the idea that, like, I didn't even really think about it, but, like, it's such a testament to character building that this episode exists, right? And that it feels as good as it does. And that sort of leads to my favorite thing about the episode, which is that, and I think that this goes to show how strong a writer Steve Vixton is and how well he likes these characters, is that I feel like in a lesser version of this show, maybe... or this episode in particular, maybe the sort of episode that might appear in a lesser show, like the dream sequences would be sort of the whole bit, right? And we would get the fun cameos, and we would get sort of like the jokes inherent, right? Like the funny joke that Helga's loving it and Arnold's hating it, and it wouldn't really delve any deeper. But I think this episode goes a lot further, right? Like, there is, for one, the best scene, which Seth, you alluded to, which is Arnold's confrontation with subconscious Helga, which is super important and super consequential, like you said. I agree with that. But even before that, right, like, we get all of these signs that, for one thing, like, Helga and Arnold are still major characters in their own dreams, especially in Helga's case. I found that really sort of like gender role reversal to be really refreshing, right? This idea that like Helga's not a person who's just obsessed with Arnold, right? Arnold is like a component of the bigger life that she has in mind for herself and what she subconsciously knows she's capable of, right? Like, she wants to be the president, she wants to be the secret agent, all of that stuff. I thought that was really great. Meanwhile, like, Arnold ultimately self-actualizes in the way that we know he will too, which is that he has this incredible capacity to fix things, through empathy and understanding, right? Like, he is able to meet Helga and say, like, this isn't what I wanted necessarily, but I can make the best of it. I can make it into something that's actually beautiful, right? Which is kind of what he's been doing throughout the entire series. So I really enjoyed that. It gets at the sort of fundamental optimism that we talk about so much in Hey Arnold, with this idea that the kids are going to be all right. It's like, the idea is not just that Arnold is going to end up with Helga and vice versa. That's not what's really, really important here. What's really important here is that these two kids, despite their sort of hardships, right? In the case of Helga, her family and her upbringing. In the case of Arnold, the fact that he's, you know, an orphan, essentially raised by his grandparents, they're going to be great, right? They're going to turn into wonderful human beings. We already know that. We can already see that starting inside of them. I think that the dream sequences do a really good job of showing that in particular, right? Like, one thing that even the Hey Arnold wiki pointed out that I thought was really poignant was that Arnold's subconscious seems deeply aware of Helga's home life and how that might be affecting her upbringing. That was pretty heartbreaking, but also, like, really important, I think. Meanwhile, like, I think it's really cool that, like you had said, Seth, like, Gerald is an important part of their lives together in Helga's daydream, right? So it's like, Helga actually, like, cares deeply about Arnold being happy, not just being with Arnold, but also, like, you know, and I even think that the Lila stuff is sort of a manifestation of that, right? Where it's like, she's not just mad that Arnold has a crush on Lila. She's mad that Lila doesn't have a crush on Arnold back, because what's wrong with her? Why wouldn't you have a crush on Arnold, right? I thought that was really interesting. But does that sort of jive with what you were thinking, Seth, or what were you thinking about sort of the particularities of the dream sequences?
I love what you brought up there with the sort of dichotomy with how Arnold sees Helga in his dream sequences and how Helga sees Arnold. One thing, and this is maybe, well, I'll start with the positive thing. I think it sort of fueled or supported the idea of who Arnold was as a person, that he did have these sort of insights into Helga's life. Like, he subconsciously, when he gets to the confrontation, he's saying, I know these things about you aren't true, but I think we see that in the dream sequence that, like, he has, whether explicit or implicit, like, some sort of understanding of why Helga is the way that she is. And I just thought that was sort of really revealing to, you know, the type of empathy that Arnold has. One interesting thing, this maybe is a minor quibble, or this is the detriment of having three dudes on the podcast, was I thought that it was funny that when Arnold visualizes being married to Helga, he is sort of this henpecked husband who has to deal with all of these problems and almost becomes a side character in his own story. And then that sort of maintains itself in Helga's vision, where she has all of these other aspirations that Arnold is a part of, but never like the feature of, that she sees herself being the president and solving these world crises and this, like, almost True Lies-esque, you know, rescue sequence of Arnold. That, yeah, like, the real sort of friction isn't with Arnold at all. It's with Lila and, like, these sort of outside forces that are sort of these specters of insecurity or doubt, but, like, the relationship itself is unflappable. And I just thought that was interesting that, like, it was presented so, like, strong, but also in a, I guess, because they are doing reverse perspective, maybe they don't need to give Arnold, you know, his fair share, his comeuppance in Helga's vision. But it was something that stood out to me that I was like, oh, that's interesting how these invert.
Yeah, I felt myself grappling with that as well. And I don't know if I have, like, any hard and fast conclusions about it. But I mean, I think what you just, you know, mentioned now, Seth, and what we kind of been building up to. Like there, I think there are a lot of things in play that make me like, they still obviously make me feel really good about each respective character's fantasy sequence, like Helga, to the point where like her arc in the series up to this point, going to therapy, confronting a lot of these things firsthand, and like not fully resolving, but like, I'll use the term grapple with again, like grappling with her own, like the ways in which her home life has affected her, the ways in which like her having, you know, a mom who's perpetually on a bender, a dad who's, Big Bob, and a sort of an overbearing perfect sister. Like those things are not necessarily okay, but the ways in which she has confronted those things obviously allows her to have, you know, and the way that she's, confronted her feelings about Arnold and really let those blossom into something like, I think generally pretty positive for her development, allows her to kind of have that baseline and dream about a life where she can be happy, where she is achieving her dreams, where she's not like settling for anything. And like for all the ways in which we've talked about Arnold in this series up to this point, like he is at the center of a lot of these things. He puts others first by means of like inserting himself in situations and like incidentally putting him first, which is something we've been critical of him as a character, as a, you know, as a person in the show, where most of the title is his name. But you know, while he's doing all those things, we don't necessarily see that fleshing out of that aspect of his interiority. And he's also not for nothing we'll cover it in the remaining stretch of this run here of the series and the movies, but and I guess like we've covered episodes that talk about it as well, but his home life, his familial history is not maybe something that it's certainly it has its complications, but it's something that perhaps hasn't set him up to believe that he can be, you know, despite having a show that's about him, he maybe can't be the strong main character of his own story, where he can chase his dreams, where he can be president someday with someone that he loves. And I don't know, like obviously he gets to that point by the end of the episode, and that's why the kids are all right. The kids are in fact going to be great is something that I think is still very like an obvious takeaway from this episode, because like he has all the tools, right? Like he has the empathy, he has the recognition that like he needs to be, he has the capacity to be empathetic towards others. He has the capacity to be all of these great things. He just has yet to sort of look inward and be like, well, what does this mean for me? Like, how can I in turn leverage these things to better myself, to bolster my own development? And the fact that he gets to that, it takes that first step kind of at the end of his fantasy sequence is really, really great. A high point for the season. And honestly, the more I think about it textually, it's probably one of the high points of the series. Recency bias aside, I feel really good about that. I don't know how, I think Harry, you were next to Harry. How do you feel about that? Are you feeling good? Do you feel optimistic about your worldview? How are things cooking for you over there?
Oh, well, that's a different question.
Yeah, it is.
Entirely. It's a very different answer, frankly.
Please go ahead.
Cody, I think that's such an astute point. And like, honestly, I think that I didn't get there watching this episode, but I think I'm getting there listening to both of you guys talk about it, right? Like I like you said, I was really grappling with this idea that like I found it really weird and sort of ironic that there is this tremendous role reversal, right? Where like both in terms of like what we would expect from a gendered perspective with dreams and also in terms of the characters themselves, right? It's like Helga had always been the realist and she has this high fantasy dream, whereas Arnold has this very uncharacteristic, very sort of like realistic dream. And I was really struggling with trying to figure that out. I mean, like I think that the only sort of like evidence I had is that for Helga's dream, I think it's really interesting that one of the biggest things about Arnold for her is that he loved her unconditionally and for who she is, and in a way that sort of like activates and cherishes the parts of herself that she wants to see. I think that that's totally in keeping with her character. But I think that like the less interesting part of the episode now, which is Arnold's dream, is now becoming one of the better, more interesting parts to me, Cody, for just the reason you said, which is that Arnold has this very like uncharacteristic dream of a loss of agency, right? Basically, where like he is in this loveless marriage or this henpecked marriage, and he loses his ability to sort of self-actualize, his ability to stand up for himself and to get out of that, he has to stand up for himself, right? He has to, quote, take control of the nightmare, unquote. And it didn't even really occur to me until we're just talking about it now that, like, that is absolutely a huge component of his character arc, right? Is this sort of passivity that exists in Arnold, this idea that he wants to think about other people, put other people first. He wants to sort of like make sure everything is all right for others. And in doing so, he sort of subliminates his own needs behind theirs, right? Or he doesn't think about himself, right? Like even the title of the show, Hey Arnold, is kind of a call to action about that, right? Like it's coming from Helga, if you want to think about it that way, but it's also just sort of like Arnold, like wake up, right? Like embrace this subconscious. I think that's a big part of why so many of the big moments that happen in the series happen in dreams, right? Especially as it concerns Arnold, is that Arnold is sort of at a pre-adolescent developmental period where he doesn't have the tools or the sort of cognitive understanding to rationalize and sort of like construct this understanding. It's just coming to him in these sort of subconscious ways. And like I said, I think that the point of the show writ large is sort of like, even if that's true, it's okay. Like you are going to get there. It's going to be all right. I think episodes like this do that. But I think it's really interesting that they characterized Arnold's struggle as having to finally confront and embrace that, right? Like he has to sort of, he has to put his own needs first and he has to confront the fact that he has needs for like maybe the first time, right? Instead of sort of like being this passive observer who sort of like helps everybody else. I think that's a really, really fascinating point. And just kind of speaks to like, that's like half of this episode, right? Like there's a whole other half happening and there's so much depth to both of these characters. So I think, like you said, it really speaks to like how this episode really creates and brings home a character arc that we had seen, even if we didn't even really realize we were seeing it playing out throughout the entire series in a really compelling way.
You know what, guys, this is blowing my mind so much that I think in the course of one episode, I might be changing my own take, because how I'm feeling about it as you guys are talking about it and how it relates to these two main characters. Cody, when you were talking earlier, you talked about Helga's sort of show wide arc. And I remember, again, like I have not been following every single episode, but when this episode started, about like 5 minutes into it, I was like, is Helga the main character of Hey Arnold? And I was like, sort of, you know, chewing on that idea while I was going. And then as we were talking about this more, I realized, okay, Arnold is not like, he doesn't have interiority in the same sense that Helga does, because I think he represents like the other way, the two modes, you know, that people come to self-awareness is like one is understanding themselves and one is understanding their place in the world. And Arnold is that, like finding his place in the world. He's, you know, put into a disparate or unconventional family situation, a living situation. He has to sort of figure out who he is in this new world, this new environment. So he is just sort of like the fulcrum around which the world revolves. So it helps if he is a fixed point, you know, because then you can see the world as it revolves around him. And that is kind of what you see in the dream sequence. And how he actualizes is by taking agency, like Harry said, and instead of just sort of letting life happen to him and trying to make understanding and find understanding, actually, you know, using that information, that insight, that empathy, and acting on it. Contrast that with Helga, who has the interior development, where you see her develop the most personally, but like, from the external eye, it all looks the same. She still has the same habits. She still punches Sid in the face, you know, every episode. It's not Sid.
Brainy.
Brainy, thank you. I was like, I know it's not Stinky, but
yeah,
like,
just remember it's a song by The National.
Oh,
that she punches in the face.
All right. I will definitely have that.
There you go.
But yeah, like she always has, you know, the football head Alter and Lockett and like
all the recurring bits and all this sort of stuff so that the audience like sees that, like, oh, this person on the exterior looks the same, but all the interiority. And then it fits very nicely to me, at least with this like ongoing bit of it actually just being the beta of Inception, is like her subconscious manifestation of herself is this very like grandiose, you know, like spectacular person with all of these great ambitions and, you know, very free from the doldrums of her life with, you know, yeah, her valiumed out mom and sort of braggadocious, self-centered dad and, you know, picture perfect sister. I feel like it's a really good encapsulation of just like all the ways that one can find themselves in the world, which I guess to put it so, put a bow on it, like, yeah, the kids are all right.
First of all, that interior-exterior dichotomy that you just brought up with Helga and Arnold is brilliant. I'd never thought of it that way, but that's totally true, right? And it like it totally also maps to the respective maturity levels that the show plays with so much, right? Is that like when you're in fourth grade as a girl, you are sort of like self-conscious and figuring yourself out, whereas when you're a guy, you're usually still more exterior, right? You're usually something that the world is happening to, not something that's sort of processing the world and acting within it, which I think is really true to life and a really big part of why these characters work so far. I think like two other big things is that like one, I think it's really consequential that in Arnold's sort of subconscious, he actualizes by embracing the parts of himself that Helga loves him for, right? Like I think everything you said about him is true. He is this fixed point. He is like the center at which the world's fulcrum sort of like rotates, right? Not to mix metaphors, but he is this this sort of like immovable moral object, right? And that has always been true of Arnold, but I don't think Arnold would ever sort of consider himself that way, right? Like, and I think that's a big part of why, yeah, exactly. He is a paragon. He's a paragon of virtue, of righteousness, of this sort of almost like Zen quality, but I don't think he sees himself that way. And I think that's a big part of why he doesn't understand why Helga loves him, right? Or that Helga really loves him, because he just doesn't have that interior identification to see that she's all about him. And moreover, like that's why he doesn't sort of like, he doesn't embrace this part of himself and understand what his real sort of like quality is. But I think that throughout the series, when we have had the most Arnold centric episodes, he has done so in Dreams, right? Like I think arguably the best episode of the series, right? Parents Day is all about that sort of like Arnold in his dream and in like that dream sequence realizes that he sort of like realizes maybe consciously for the first time what his grandparents have been trying to do or trying to make him. And then he realizes, right, like, oh, like it's my turn. Like now that I understand the project, it's my turn to fly the plane, so to speak, right? To use the metaphor from the dream sequence. I think he kind of gets there here too, except it's even more interesting because it's about adversity, right? Like I think that Arnold is for the first time sort of like understanding that he has the ability to make the world a better place proactively and through his own action, right? Like I think it's really consequential that at the end of the episode, like Arnold is talking about how he's going to get married to Helga and he's not thinking like, well, it's all going to work out. It's like, even if it happens, I would make it all right. Right. And like, that is fundamentally a sort of like active position that he's taking. He's like, well, it would be okay. Like, even if I end up with Helga, it would be okay because I'm me, because like, I'm like, I would make it okay. And I think that it's super important that Arnold arrives at that destination. Just like I think it's important what you said, Seth, right, about how like this is almost a post-character arc Helga, but like it's so meaningful and moving to see that in her self-conscious, she understands that she's actually capable of greatness, right? She understands that she's actually going to be great, despite the sort of like the things holding her back right now, right? And moreover, it's like it's so important that she is actually moved forward from Helga on the couch, right? Where like in Helga on the couch, Helga sees Arnold as this sort of like externalization of everything she could be, right? And so like if he loves her, she can be those things. And in this, she's moved forward where it's like she loves him and she is those things. and he loves her because she is those things, right? So it's like there's this idea that like now she has actually taken hold of her own perception of herself and is now understanding that that makes her worthy of love, right? And I think that that's really, really amazing. So I think that, like, yeah, it turns out Steve Vixton understands these characters really, really well. It seems like, and even better than I gave him credit for at the beginning of this episode, right? Like, I think my criticism of the idea that it was a dream sequence the whole time is maybe like, on the one hand, I would have loved to have seen more direct interaction between Arnold and Helga as their swan song. But on the other hand, I think that like dreams are so important to the fabric of Hey Arnold, right? Like daydreams, dreaming, subconscious, this sort of like burgeoning consciousness that crouches in the subconscious because the characters aren't quite where they need to be to sort of start to embrace that. So it lives in the subtextual and the subconscious. I think it's appropriate for the series, right? So, like, I'm hard pressed to say that this isn't the perfect sort of send off to the idea of these characters, even if I can equivocate about sort of like what I maybe wish they had spent more time with, right? And that's maybe just because like I would have loved this to be an even longer episode than it was, or something like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I found myself wanting an episode that was a regular length episode and just about like the consequences of like presenting this cootie catcher and all the various permutations of like pairing offs that might happen, or just like a full double length episode about Helga, the president / spy. That would be really fun. But yeah, I mean, throughout his highs and lows over the course of the series, Steve Vixton can't say the man doesn't know the power of a good cootie catcher. Speaking of which, it's been a while since I made one of these, but I did try my hand. We'll have a fun
we'll
jazz
have to cut
note
that
to-
out. Well, but for our listeners just now on video, Cody has pulled out a cootie catcher of his own design, which I was not expecting because I completely forgot that those were a thing that could be made.
Yeah, well, and buckle up, fellas. You're about to find out your destinies. This will determine who it is that you're going to marry. Here's what's going to happen. You'll first provide your favorite season of the year. So you got fall, winter, spring, summer. Once that gets inputted into this empirical, objective, magical artifact, you'll tell me how many cups of coffee you've had today. And then after that, I'll just need a pick A, B, C, D, Arnold, Helga, Gerald, Phoebe. You pick one of those. That'll tell you your destiny. So in my example, so fall's my favorite season, F-A-L-L, I spell that out. You can tell I'm doing things, dear listener, because of the texture that maybe comes through the microphone. I can't actually tell. But F-A-L-L, I've had one cup of coffee, and I'm going to pick Gerald. And picking Gerald tells me that I'm going to marry Anya Taylor-Joy. So I have that to look forward to, which is really nice. So let's go guest... first, as I hold this up to the camera so that our super producer can get a screenshot if he hasn't already. Seth, we'll go to you first. What is your favorite season?
It is also fall.
All right. Go F-A-L-L. Next, how many cups of coffee have you had today? Shout out to capitalism.
Two
cups. One, two, and Arnold, Helga, Gerald, Phoebe. Pick your poison.
Well, this is a Hey Arnold podcast, so give me Arnold.
All right. Seth picks Arnold. Seth, you got a lot to look forward to. You're going to marry into a royal family. John David Washington is your spouse. Yeah. So that's, yeah.
I can ask him what tenet means. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if he'll be able to tell you, but it's worth a try. now Harry, let's kick it to you first. Your favorite season?
All right, yeah, I'm a summer boy, Cody, as you know, so I'll do summer.
Summer. How many cups of coffee have you had today?
That would be three.
Nice, two, three, and you got Arnold, Helga, Gerald, Phoebe.
This is a tough choice, but I think I got to go with my girl Helga.
All right, we're going. Harry's going with Helga. Harry. I hope you've got a step stool in your closet. You're going to be married to Lee Pace.
Very encouraging. That's great. Well, I think he's already married, unfortunately, but maybe I can sort of slide in there.
Hey, this is objective.
Okay, I'm going to sing Frank Ocean Self-Control to him. Keep a place for me. I'll sleep between y'all. Yeah, that.
For sure. And if you're listening to this, why not? Tweet at us or throw it in the comments on Instagram. Favorite season, how many cups of coffee, and then just either Arnold, Helga, Gerald, Phoebe, either myself or, well, I don't want to pull back the curtain too far. Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast, will tell you who it is that you're destined to be with. Except for Anya Taylor-Joy. She's already been called for, regrettably for everybody else, not for me. I just wanted a place to slide that in while we had a little lull in the action. That is not to necessarily take us to the end, but was there anything else you fellows did want to remark upon? I mean, there are a lot of good gags, a lot of good bits. If there are any sort of gags you know what? The one shout out to two gags. One, them remarking upon, the stork just flew away. It was off screen, but there's a stork, so you know what that means. That was very, very funny and kind of unusual. But at season five, I'm all for it.
Arnold
and then,
canonically doesn't know what sex is.
Yeah, extremely funny. And also in sort of Arnold's perception and understanding of what Helga's home life is and what Big Bob's career is, just in this made up city, like the Beeper Emporium has docks that Arnold works at. That was extremely funny to me. I don't know if it was actually that funny, but that just, it was like this weird emphasis. And then there's like, I don't know, union humor. Really, really good stuff, top to bottom. On top of this being like a very deep episode, it was pretty funny. Not the funniest episode of the season by any means, but it held its own. It was pretty solid.
Yeah, shout outs to that weird union joke. I guess little 9-year-old Arnold might be a little anti-union, but that's okay. We'll go to work on him. He'll get there. The kids will be all right. Let's see. I've got shout outs, one to Phoebe in an unbelievably moving, affecting episode. Some of the best moments were Phoebe's. Phoebe as the like secretary to the president of the United States. So moving and charming. She's so good. She's talking about how she's fueling the Air Force One for Helga. And then, of course, like the fact that her dream is the dream that we see at the end, and she's maybe arguably the most mature, self-actualized, and aware person on the show. And she sees that Helga and Arnold are together, just a perfect sort of cap on the series. Really sweet. Shout outs to our poor little queer boy, Eugene, who is so polite to Nadine when Nadine wants to marry him and is clearly so upset about it, but will not sort of like openly express his dissatisfaction. Shout outs to Peapod Kid for being quite a little freak. Also, you love a guy who loves girls who love bugs. So shout outs to Peapod Kid. I thought it was one of the hardest times I laughed in the episode was when he was like, oh, that's a very encouraging. I was like, oh man, Peapod Kid, you a freak. But you gotta love it. So shout outs to those gags for sure.
I would like to shout out I don't even know the the best way to approach this. But the fact that when they're on the bus and Gerald doesn't believe what Arnold is saying, he says, "Did you catch that Chinese flu?" I was like, there was a record scratch moment in my brain. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, Craig, what have you done? That I literally had to like scrub the episode back to be like, did he say what I think he said?
Did you catch that China virus? Gerald becomes Donald Trump for just a second. Lane 7. Awful.
Oh no. The darkest timeline.
Truly. Yeah, it's been pointed out in previous episodes relatively recently that the show has some regrettably timed regrettably timed is like many years ago, but just some of those things play differently for a lot of reasons, if for any other reason, because we've lived through coronavirus, like the episode when Sid got sick. Shout out to Dan Nagin, who was on that and rightfully called that out. Just like, oh yeah, this sits differently. But you know, what always sits the same in the best possible way is Seth Zaradia on an episode of a podcast. Seth, thank you so much again for being here with us. If you feel like sharing, where can people find you? Is there anything that you would like to plug? How content are you to be married to John David Washington at some point in the future? Any and or all of the above are free game for you.
I am looking forward to a very blissful marriage with John David Washington. He seems like a very strong but tender man, and I'm sure we'll have many insightful conversations. You can find me on socials at SN Zaradi. And yeah, it was a pleasure. So thanks again for having me on.
Of course. Thank you very much for being here. This was Married, and it was on Stu Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH. Thanks again, Seth.
Yeah, I've been Harry Mackin. Thanks again, Seth. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry, and Lee Pace can DM me at the same @.
That's right. And then for those of you listening, please continue to listen, though, of course, we'd understand if you're not married to the idea. Hey!